It's Encounter on the Voice of America. Encounter on the Voice of America brings together advocates and opponents debating the critical issues of our time in a freewheeling, no-holds-barred discussion of fact and opinion. With today's guests and the topic for Encounter, here is Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, U.S. President Barack Obama's executive action on immigration policy, prosecutorial discretion, or executive overreach. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. The U.S. immigration system has been broken for decades. The democratically controlled Senate passed an immigration reform bill more than a year ago, which was supported by both parties. But leaders in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives have refused to bring the bill up for a vote. So, last week, President Obama announced sweeping changes to U.S. immigration policy, calling the plan a common-sense middle-ground approach that is neither unfair mass amnesty nor impossible mass deportation. While he would prefer Congress to act, as only the Congress can pass a comprehensive bill, President Obama said he needed to act where, quote, Congress had failed. His executive directive could shield nearly 5 million undocumented immigrants from deportation, those who have been in the country for more than 5 years and have children who are citizens or legal residents will now be able to stay temporarily with no fear of deportation.
If you've been in America for more than 5 years, if you have children who are American citizens or legal residents, if you register, pass a criminal background check, and you're willing to pay your fair share of taxes, you'll be able to apply to stay in this country temporarily without fear of deportation. You can come out of the shadows and get right with the law.
President Obama goes on to say that he much prefers passing a law through Congress, dealing with comprehensive immigration reform, but he is tired of waiting.
I continue to believe that the best way to solve this problem is by working together to pass that kind of common sense law. But until that happens, there are actions I have the legal authority to take as president, the same kinds of actions taken by Democratic and Republican presidents before me, that will help make our immigration system more fair and more just.
Republican opponents say allowing illegals to stay is like giving amnesty to criminals. They have also pushed for more security along the Mexican border. Not surprisingly, President Obama's announcement met with joy and relief among many in the Hispanic community. However, the breadth of Mr. Obama's decision is already raising serious legal and constitutional questions, fueling Republican charges of presidential overreach and worries among some Democrats of future fallout. Well, for more on President Obama's executive action to shield millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation and the political fallout, we turn to our veteran political analysts. John Fortier is a political scientist and director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center. That's a think tank based here in Washington. And Igor Volsky. He's managing editor of thinkprogress.org, a progressive political blog affiliated with the Center for American Progress, also a policy group based here in Washington. And both gentlemen join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Igor Volsky of the Center for American Progress, let me begin with you on both the substance and the politics of this move by President Obama. But first, a bit on the politics. Why do you think President Obama did this now? Coming out of the midterm elections, his party, the Democratic Party, was routed. But why did he not wait a few months for the new Congress, the Republican-controlled Congress, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, to see if they might pass a law which President Obama and most members of Congress say is preferable?
Well, he would say that he has waited long enough. He argued that he called on House Speaker John Boehner to bring the comprehensive immigration bill that the Senate passed more than a year ago to the floor of the House just for an up or down vote. And Boehner refused to do that time and time again. In fact, after the election, he was asked directly, would you agree to bring this measure to a vote if President Obama withheld his executive action? And he said he would not. And so the president, who had made a promise to his constituents that he would in fact act as far as he could to help certain groups of undocumented immigrants, did. And I think for Democrats, the politics of this makes makes a lot of sense. Latino voters are a growing electorate bloc here, as particularly as we get into 2016 and 2020 and beyond. And so for them to solidify those voters in the Democratic column is, I think, smart politics. And you look at the other side of the ledger, the strong response we're hearing from Republicans, if they alienate Latinos by trying to shut down the government or trying to defund this relief that Obama's offering, I think they're going to face problems winning a national election.
Turning to you, John Fortier, why do you think President Obama did this now?
Well, some might not ask why he didn't wait a couple more months, but why he hadn't done this a couple months earlier. I think Igor is right in a way. There is a good political reason for the president to make this move, but there were also some political tensions that he faced. He was in a difficult dance before the election because he said, I'm going to take some executive action. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but I'm going to do that after the election. And he was pressured by his own supporters to do it sooner, but he had Democrats in Congress who were up for tough races in states, that might not have been a very popular decision. So there are some tricky politics about this issue, both the short-term and the long-term politics. I think the president felt in the short-term he would have had a much more pushback that would have hurt him more in this election. It ended up that most of those Democrats probably lost their seats anyway, so maybe the president could have gone ahead and done that. But I think the president was cognizant of that. Republicans are in a tricky long-term position. It's true that Republican demographics are slowly shifting against them, both with the young voters being in the Democratic side, with Hispanic voters a growing part of the electorate. And that's one of the reasons why some thought that there could be a larger deal where Republicans would sign on. But I think those changes are somewhat slow. And I wouldn't go as far as Igor to say that they can't win a national election, but that they do have to address in the longer term their popularity among Hispanic voters.
Back to you, Igor Volsky. Let's talk about the substance. This executive action is being called sweeping, some say to some extent unprecedented, and we'll examine if that is in fact a reality. One could say it's somewhat limited, 3.5, 4, 5 million people affected. It's also, some would say, somewhat arbitrary that this executive action protects undocumented workers of U.S. citizens from deportation, but not the parents of the so-called Dreamers, the undocumented children whom Obama shielded from immigration enforcement. Well, what about extending work permits, but then not allowing these very people that he's protecting from deportation to be eligible for the so-called Obamacare? In other words, what does it do and what doesn't it do, and how much is that significant?
Well, I think in terms of how sweeping it is, I would argue that it's actually fairly well seeped in precedent. You know, when Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush offered something very similar to a group of undocumented immigrants, they provided relief for about 40% of the undocumented population. Here, Obama is extending relief to about 45% of the 11 million undocumented. So I think he's acting in a very similar way that his predecessors have. And I think precedent and kind of the legal substantiation and legal theory is all on his side here. He, I think, in making this decision, though, was very careful, as you point out, not to go beyond the law and not to go further than his Justice Department said was credible. And so when it came to the parents of the DACA students, the young people who were brought here illegally and who now have this temporary status, it was a big debate within the White House whether or not to extend this order to include those parents. And a lot of immigration groups were upset that it didn't go further. But Obama's Justice Department said that's one step too far, as would be providing certain government benefits like the affordable health care benefits. And so he kept himself within a legal framework, a framework that, again, I think has been etched out by his predecessors.
All right. Well, turning to you, John Fortier, to answer the same question. And since Igor Volsky brought up this question of authority or power of President Obama, constitutional authority to do this without overreaching, let's hear what Obama says. He says that my actions are legal and I'm doing what others have done before me. And then he says, if you don't like it, pass a law.
The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
All right, that's President Obama justifying his executive action. What's your reaction to the legality? Do you think he's engaging in overreach like many of his Republican critics are accusing him of?
I agree with Igor in one way, that I think the president has tried to put some limits on himself. And those limits are not only to craft a middle position or to skirt Republicans, but they are to worry that courts might step in and say, you've exceeded your authority, and now the people that you've pretended to or said to give protection to are now not protected. So I think the president had to be cognizant of those limits. That being said, I think while the president does build on certain precedents, the scale of this is quite large. And these actions in the past were taken not so much against the other party or taking a position that really was directly opposed by someone else, but more to sort of further policy that others had taken. So this is a significant challenge. Republicans are not happy with this. I do think that he has, you know, spent some time, and his Justice Department has spent some time trying to build on some significant foundations. It's possible the courts will trim him here and there, but symbolically, it is a strong pushback against Republicans. It is not a administrative action cleaning up the matter after the fact. It is a challenge to a policy that Republicans really are not in favor of, and they're quite angry in Congress.
Back to you, Igor Volsky. Conversely, some say that the action demonstrates actually the limits of executive power. For example, the likelihood of those he's protecting, the undocumented parents of U.S. citizens. Again, he's trying to somehow chart a middle ground. So how do you see this playing out?
Well, it's also temporary. This is a grant for 3 years of deferred deportation. Three, why is that significant? Because it goes beyond his term. And so it creates, as John says, a challenge for the next president, whoever he or she might be, to actively rescind this order if they choose to do so. Creates a political problem for that next president. And I think on the part of the administration is probably a smart move because it would push them to keep this on the books. It's very difficult to say publicly that you're going to deport or take away these benefits from undocumented immigrants, particularly those who have such strong ties to their community and such strong ties to this country. That being said, I think there are also certain parts of this action that a lot of Republicans would support. For instance, there's provisions streamlining some of the border security elements that Republicans have previously backed. There are some provisions that businesses have asked for in terms of how high-tech workers can move in and out of jobs and how they can apply for permanent residence so they don't have to wait in line for so long. And some other administrative things that were part of the comprehensive immigration bill the Senate passed, that the House failed to take up. So while the centerpiece of this may be, of course, the deferred action that he's offering, there are elements, I think, that even Republicans would certainly agree with.
Well, turning back to you, John Fortier, Igor brought up this concept also of precedent, and some critics are arguing that more than exceeding his power, actually, that it is the precedent that this type of action actually sets for other areas. They argue that even if the directive is legally defensible, that Mr. Obama could be paving the way for a future Republican president to act similarly, to contravene laws that Democrats like. What are the implications for future presidents?
I do think that there is a slippery slope that courts have drawn some lines on and may have to draw some more lines on in the future. Look, as we have a political system that's divided significantly between the two parties, when you see a president of one party and a Congress of the other, there is going to be this temptation, which President Obama has embraced in some ways, to act with the executive power, even when the Congress doesn't act. And if that gets to the point where courts feel that the use of some established powers gets so far that it is really legislating or changing the intent of laws of Congress, I think there's going to be some clashing. So the principle is one that we are going to have to sort out. Yes, the executive has enforcement powers, but ultimately, if that enforcement means discretion not to enforce laws that Congress has passed that are clearly on the books, that gets into the heart of our separation of power system, and the courts are going to step in.
You're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. My guests are John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, from whom you just heard, and Igor Volsky. He's a managing editor of thinkprogress.org, a progressive political blog affiliated with the Center for American Progress. We're discussing the substance and politics of President Obama's decision to protect millions of undocumented immigrants from the threat of deportation. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website, voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow me on Twitter @CarolCastielleVOA, and we want to hear from you. Connect with us on Facebook via Carol Castiel, VOA, or send us an email to encounter@voanews.com. And here's a shout-out to a loyal listener, Shahzad Gul from Pakistan. Thanks for your support. Well, back to you, Igor Volsky. How has the Latino community reacted to this order?
I think overwhelmingly the reaction has been very positive. This is something the Latino community has pushed the president to do time and time again over the last 2 years, interrupting him at multiple events. So I think, if anything, this is really a testament to their activism that he finally took this step, because he was very hesitant 2 years ago to even think about it, arguing that this is something Congress should decide and he can't act alone. But I think also, for them, it's certainly life-changing. It allows the Latino community and other undocumented immigrants to kind of come out of the shadows, to start working in the real economy, if you will, to contribute to this country. And I think estimates range from somewhere of in the ballpark of $22 billion in increased revenue and increased payroll taxes just over the first 5 years. So this isn't just something that helps those individuals, but I think also kind of helps the country overall.
John Fortier, the Latino reaction, relatively positive. How do you see that?
Was positive, although I would say that in months leading up to this, it was worried that the president wasn't going to act, or annoyed at the president that he didn't act sooner, that he was politically waiting till after the election. But I do think broadly this is an action or in the direction the Latino community wanted to see. And Republicans, while I don't think immigration reform is the only issue that Republicans need to deal with to attract Hispanic voters, it is certainly a block for many voters. So I think there's some danger for Republicans with the Hispanic community in reacting too strongly to this decision.
Well, Igor Volsky, this looks like an issue on which both Republicans and Democrats could greatly benefit, both substantively and politically. So how do you think the Republicans will react once sort of their initial fury is overcome? Could this be a catalyst for legislation? What are the likely options that they have?
Well, the logical answer would be to use it as a catalyst to pass an immigration reform bill or series of bills, which is something the president has endorsed, getting to comprehensive immigration reform through a series of bills. So if they do that, that's a way of making all of this go away, because anything they do will supersede his executive action. In terms of what they will actually do, I think they're still divided. There's certainly discussion of using the funding process to try to claw back some of the president's powers, try to go after the agencies that are going to be putting these programs together, although that seems somewhat unlikely because of the way they're funded. But if the Republicans try to really make this into a big issue as we try to fund the government before the end of the year, I think that's going to be a big gamble. If anything, they'll probably come into the new Congress and try to deal with this issue then. What they do, I don't even think they know at this point.
Perhaps John Fortier knows what they're going to do. So, John Fortier, what are you hearing from a broad spectrum of Republicans?
Well, I think in the short term, Republicans are going to voice their extreme disappointment with this measure, that the president acted unilaterally, and they want to push back against it. I do think the Republican leadership has a challenge on their hands, because they were hoping that we would get through this Congress, where Democrats are still in control, and go to the Republican Congress and then really show some unity as to some bills that they could pass and put on the president's desk. Whether the president would sign them or not, it would show Republicans had an agenda. Part of the Republican Party to say, look, maybe we should be more confrontational and attach this to appropriations bills, or use it in a way that brings us to a government shutdown, which many leaders want to avoid. So I think there is some tension there. I do think in the longer term, though, Republicans might look at this and say, look, we didn't like what the president did. He acted unilaterally on this set of issues, giving at least temporary legal status to people who are here illegally. But there are other parts of that bill. I'm not one who thinks that we're going to get a big comprehensive bill, but there's a significant border security piece that Republicans will want to pass. And for them to pass that and put it on the president's desk and say, you got what you wanted in terms of some of the legalization of people, but another piece of the puzzle is the border security, and putting a bill like that in front of the president saying, you know, sign it or show us that you don't believe in that. So I do think Republicans have some dangers, but I think the president also might face some difficulties on this issue from Republicans uniting around some other elements that were in that comprehensive bill.
Well, turning to you, Igor Volsky, in terms of border security, President Obama has said, and it appears that he has strengthened border security. What more could or should be done? And do you think if the Republicans pass a bill in that regard, would President Obama look upon it favorably?
He certainly has endorsed legislation to beef up border security, which, as you point out, has improved dramatically since the days of George W. Bush, when he tried and failed to reform the immigration system in a comprehensive way. And so I think any kind of piecemeal effort that begins with border security, that does it in a sensible way, doesn't just kind of pump millions and billions of dollars into programs that don't really work, is something that he's probably going to consider and then possibly sign as a way to show good faith that he wants to play ball on this issue and move on to kind of different sub-issues within the immigration context. But I think ultimately on the policy details, I mean, this isn't terribly controversial. The Senate immigration bill passed, what, with double-digit support from Republicans, John, if I'm not mistaken. So you're really talking about opposition, not necessarily on the margins, but a vocal minority in the House and a certain mindset and leadership that keeps this from coming to a vote and becoming law. I strongly believe that if Speaker Boehner put that bill to a vote on the floor, it would pass and it would become law and we could move on to a different topic, really.
So what about that possibility, John Fortier?
I don't think the politics are where Igor thinks they are. I do think the politics, A, have shifted a bit since the time of the passage of the Senate bill. But even in the case of the Senate bill, I think there are some competing priorities within the Republican Party, certainly both thinking about their political future and appeal to Hispanic voters, but also, you know, a strong business community emphasis on getting a more rational immigration policy. That being said, there's a quite substantial part of the Republican Party, and I would say even a smaller part of the Democratic Party, who has some real worries about immigration. And both the larger majorities of Republicans in both houses and the president's actions here, I don't think we should understate that this is just a simply benign set of actions the president has taken politically. Republican voters are unhappy, as well as Republican members of Congress. So, and you've seen some of the people who are part of that Senate deal walk away, essentially, from that deal. Some are going to be running for president, might not feel that that's the best issue to lead with on the Republican side. So I think there's a much stronger opposition to doing a comprehensive bill at this time on the Republican side. And I don't know what it would do if we put it on the floor of the House, but I think it would be a harder sell than Igor says.
And wasn't it incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? He used a phrase saying if Obama did this, it would be waving a red
red cloth in front of a bull, right, or something.
Exactly. So indeed, Igor, the Republicans in both chambers are livid about this. But do you think that in the end it will hurt them if they don't do something constructive? Because, in fact, we're talking about 2016, and they will probably be unable to retake the White House without a substantial portion of the Latino vote.
Yeah, it certainly makes it more difficult. And, you know, to be fair, Obama sneezes and Republicans are livid. So I don't think them being really upset about this is a good indicator of kind of where this is. You know, days before he did this, the president announced a climate deal with China, a non-binding agreement, and Mitch McConnell, who was there taking pictures with his new freshman class, his newly elected Republican senators, said, yeah, you know, I talked about working with the president and finding common ground, but this deal he agreed to certainly makes that hard. I mean, any excuse, any presidential action that he disagrees with even a little bit is going to be used as pretext to obstruct, unless he changes his tune in the new Congress and really gets this thing going and tries to work with the president on those common points that he laid out immediately after the election. So, yes, I think it's harder for them in 2016 if they don't support this. But, you know, who knows? I think, as Boehner says, hope springs eternal. Maybe Republicans will surprise us in 2015.
Let me say two things. I do think the longer-term prospects for Republicans are hurt if they do not find a way to appeal more broadly to Hispanics. They still make up, in the presidential election, they made up about 10% of the electorate, in the last election, about 8%. It is a substantial group, but there are ways of winning the presidency. And look, a large percentage of the Republican base has some worries about immigration. So I do think it's not easy to imagine a comprehensive deal in the near term. Republicans do have to think about this in the longer term. And I guess the second thing I wanted to say is just climate change. These are not the most benign things for Republicans. If the two things that they are worried most, the president is going to go try to act on his own without Congress, they would say outside the law, without the consent of the other party, are to push things forward on the climate change front that they disagree with and to push things forward on the immigration front. Those are the most controversial things that the president could push Republican buttons on by executive action.
Yeah, they become very upset when he uses presidential powers or acts like a president, I understand.
Well, indeed. Well, no question. There is something to what Igor said about not necessarily if Obama sneezes, but it does seem that whatever he does meets with a great deal of opposition, at least from the more conservative or hardline Republicans. Well, just as we close, so Igor Volsky, just once again on the political motives of President Obama, since we're talking about the politics.
When any president makes any decision, certainly politics plays a role. But I think he's a second-term president who's looking at his legacy now. And by taking this action, I mean, he's really making a very big impact in the lives of 5 million people. And I think just as having the opportunity to do that is something that presidents of, as we learned, the past, 11 presidents since Eisenhower have taken some kind of immigration executive action, partly because of politics, but also partly because it really impacts and improves the lives of the people that are going to benefit.
And the last word to you, John Fortier, in terms of why the president did this, particularly the political reasons for perhaps 2016, and basically saying because he has met with so much opposition, whether on climate change or immigration or jobs bills, he just decided, well, you know what, I'm just going to do this, and if it helps, my party in 2016, all the better.
Look, I agree with Igor that underlying this really is the president's belief that this is the right policy and moving in the right direction. And if anything, I think you could say that he was holding back politically in the last Congress because there was the possibility of a deal, and him getting too far out in front or doing something that would anger Republicans too much, make that deal harder, he didn't want to do. I think this is a bad sign that he doesn't see the prospects for a deal. And really, frankly, waiting a couple more months, I don't think the prospects would have been any better for a deal than they were right after the election. So I think the president had held back, probably realized over the summer that this was not going to happen. There wasn't going to be a comprehensive bill. Was a little cautious with that election coming up of getting some of his Democrats in trouble too soon, and then acted after the election thinking there probably isn't going to be a deal, but here's the policy that I would like to put in place at least partially.
All right. Well, we'll be examining the fallout from this executive order on immigration in the weeks and months ahead. I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guests, John Fortier, director of the Democracy Project at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and Igor Volsky, managing editor of thinkprogress.org with the Center for American Progress. Gentlemen, thanks again for your terrific insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guests. Our engineer was Bill Barber, and I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.
Encounter on the Voice of America. Encounter on the Voice of America brought together advocates and opponents debating the critical issues of our time in a freewheeling, no-holds-barred discussion of fact and opinion. Your host was Carol Castiel. Join us again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.